This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 5th of January 2016 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today, I'm joined by Will Hodgkinson, rock and pop critic for The Times, to help me through our first music review of the year. Up for discussion today, we have Black Star, the brand new album by David Bowie, a reissue of French songstress Françoise Hardy's 1966 album La Maison où j'ai grandi, and the upcoming record from one half of the Fiery Furnaces, Eleanor Friedberger. That's all to come on the Monocle Arts Review. Stick around. All right, well, here we are. First week of the new year. Happy New Year to you, first of all.
And to you.
Now, we were talking, weren't we, before we clicked the on button, that it's a little bit of a bleak time of year. Everyone's suddenly kind of having to pretend that they love doing it. They love being back. But maybe we've got some fantastic music to spur us on.
We've got some stuff to get us through. The beginning of the year, you just cannot get away from the feeling of the first day of school. It doesn't matter how old you are. And so there is that element. But the David Bowie album really is good. Yeah. I know that everybody always says the new David Bowie album is good because everybody loves David Bowie. And even if he puts out a stinker, everyone says it's great.
Everybody wants it to be good.
They want it to be good. But the thing is, what I thought about this is that rock and roll, rock music, is still a young art form. It's, you know, Little Richard and Chuck Berry still alive, so it's really in its first generation. And David Bowie is one of the only people of his generation who are trying to do something different with it. And he's still, everyone's saying, oh, it's a jazz album. It's not. It's got jazz element. It's got saxophone all over it. But it really is a rock pop album because everything is based on the song. And he's a brilliant songwriter. So what he'll have, even on the 10-minute opener, Black Star, which has already been out there, you know, he'll have these kind of crazy, you know, jazz skronk or whatever you call it. But then it'll come back to a really good melody and a good harmony, which is what Bowie's great strength is. And that's throughout the album. So it's superb. I mean, I just felt that it's someone who is doing something different, but still within the genre of rock and pop.
So that's the thing. I mean, people love to read things into it. Now, I've only seen what's on the web rather than getting sent the promo or however you listen to it. And that's the sort of fun thing about doing it that way is that you get to read people's comments under the video or under the MP3 that plays. And that's sort of hilarious. Everyone putting their own spin on it, and why not? But it really does. This presumably is one of those albums when you, as a rock and pop critic for a big publication for The Times here in London, know why it is that you've got your job and lots of other people haven't, I suppose. And people come to you for the last word on a record like this. It's one of the big key releases.
It could be one of the times when I worry about whether I'm going to keep my job because I think, what is this album about? But actually, the point of rock and pop, and certainly with Bowie, is that it doesn't matter what it's about. It may not make any sense whatsoever. A lot of his songs don't. But the point is, it's about that space between the audience and him. And what he does, he creates enough material which is interesting and eloquent for the audience to take it on board. So I think it's about him being out of the picture, in a way. He's done it at the same time as this musical called Lazarus, which is almost an extension of The Man Who Fell to Earth, the film he starred in. But it's also a kind of jukebox musical. You know, it's got Life on Mars and Heroes and all of his great songs in there. So I think, considering that Bowie has taken himself out of the frame, and unlike most other pop stars, he's not on social media the whole time, he's not doing interviews, he's not a man of the people, he's out there, you know, about to, you know, to sort of connect with. I think he's taking stock of everything that he has done in the past, but he's also trying to do something which engages with what's going on at the moment. And there's one song on which he does attempt a rap, and I think that...
So let's point out to our listeners that Will Hodgkinson is making a face. So be it.
And, you know, on one level, it's very mean of me to say that, you know, people of a certain age shouldn't try rap for the first time, but it's a bit like seeing an old guy on a skateboard. It's not great. But everything else on the album is great. And it finishes with this song called I Can't Give Everything Away. And the lyrics are obtuse, but to me, it's about him saying, I've given versions of myself to the world, but there's something I've got to keep back.
Well, we're going to actually take a cut from the LP. We're going to actually listen to Lazarus. You mentioned it, the idea of it being a jukebox musical. There's an interesting thing also with David Bowie that, you know, he only did a kind of, he did a year of greatest hits, didn't he? He played Glastonbury in 2000 and actually did greatest hits for the first time rather than kind of doing a kind of glass spider type of kind of monstrosity. So he always resists that. And I suppose that presumably is always one of the impulses for any new David Bowie record, that he's not so interested in treading over past ground.
He's not, but he is interested in contextualizing his past. And I think that's what Lazarus has done. It's not, he'd probably hate it to be described as a jukebox musical. It's an original piece, and it sort of picks up where The Man Who Fell to Earth left off. But it does contain all of these very, very famous Bowie songs that people love to hear. So it falls in under that category, and in a way it's perfect because he doesn't have to go out and perform them, but he's put his name and he's co-written this musical Lazarus, and here's a song from it, you know, from his new album. So,
where it is. This is Lazarus, easy for you to say, from Black Star. All right, that's a little bit of Lazarus from the new David Bowie album out on Friday, his 69th birthday. The LP is going to be called Black Star. And it's great. What era of Bowie does that remind you of? Should it remind you of anything? I mean, he obviously is in fine voice, but does it clock into any particular period of his?
Yeah, it reminds me of Station to Station, which I think came out in 1976. And it also reminds me of Scary Monsters, which came out in 1980, because both of those were experimental albums with pop songs at their core. And I think that's what this is. Even though these songs are long, you know, there's only 7 songs on the album, but they're still good pop songs.
Perfect. Well, David Bowie, the album Black Star is out on Friday. We're going to move on to another album, actually, that was out in 1966. This is called La Maison Où J'ai Grandi, and it's one of a series of albums that Françoise Hardy put out. And she was pretty productive, wasn't she, in those early 60s periods. Fill our listeners in for people that maybe don't even know who Françoise Hardy is. Well,
Françoise Hardy was the great Gallic chanteuse, and what she did, which was sort of unique, was that she combined the chanson tradition, which is a very fine singing with an orchestra in the background, with the sort of Gallic yeah or pop.
I love that. I love the yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
I love
yeah.
That. Such a good Y-E-Y-E. Pop term. Yeah,
it's fantastic. Yeah. But she did it. What I think was great about Françoise Hardy was she was kind of a conflicted person, very shy. She wanted to be a singer. She wanted to be a pop star, but she didn't like everything that went with it. And she was very beautiful and a great clothes horse. And so Courrèges and Pierre Cardin were designing clothes for her. But she always said she felt very uncomfortable being objectified and being a kind of model type. She didn't particularly like acting, which French pop stars of the time always did. So she was an unusual character, and she wasn't making folk. You know, it wasn't equivalent to Joni Mitchell or anyone like that. These were songs mostly written by other people, sometimes by her. But they had a kind of winsomeness to it and a reflectiveness. And it was very, very French. I don't really think the English had an equivalent.
Yeah, there's an unashamed artistry, I suppose, to Françoise Hardy, but at the same time, a kind of pop sensibility, or maybe because the way she looked in the wonderful album covers, that people put a sense of pop sensibility onto her, feeling that she was too good to waste on the avant-garde somehow. You know
yeah,
what I
mean?
She
was like that. Yeah. But then at the same time, I think she did fit in quite naturally to pop songwriting. And the thing, what I found fascinating, especially about this album, is that she made it after meeting Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan had written a poem on the back of Another Side of Bob Dylan, which was dedicated to Françoise Hardy, but before they'd actually met. And so he is, you know, sort of loving her from afar. And then she met him and she was very unimpressed, apparently. This was in 66. And so Dylan was at the height of the sort of period when he was going electric and there's a lot of antagonism to him and taking a lot of speed. And she'd never come across drugs, apparently. She said that's completely new to her. And She wasn't impressed by Dylan in the way everyone else was. And she also wasn't impressed by the Beatles and the Stones in the way everyone else was. I think she liked them, but she wasn't really sort of worshipful of them. And I think that gave her something, you know, there's something very cool about that.
Yeah, there's something quite cool about that. Well, we're going to take a little bit of the title track, La Maison Où J'ai Grandi.
Le temps a passé et me revoilà, cherchant en vain la maison que j'aimais. Où sont les pierres et où sont les roses, toutes ces choses auxquelles je tenais. D'elle et de mes amis, plus une trace. D'autres gens, d'autres maisons ont volé leur place.
That is the title track, La Maison Où J'ai Grandi, from that upcoming album. Say upcoming album. I mean, 1966, released on Friday.
Coming out again.
Yeah. And this is another Light in the Attic release. You brought the CD in. It looks beautiful. And it's coming out on vinyl, I guess, at the end of the month. This is the kind of thing you want to own on CD somehow, isn't it? Or at least CD. It's a kind of beautiful artifact.
It is. I really like Light in the Attic. We've talked about them before. But they're very good. I mean, Francois Hardy is fairly well known. Often they, Light in the Attic, find people you've never heard of. But they just present it really well. You know, they do these really nice editions, and it's a beautiful object. I mean, the cover has got a picture of her looking winsome against a sunset, I guess you call it, and a sort of a river or a sea, and it's just very beautiful. So for me, all that stuff's important. You know, I don't like the idea of music being detached entirely from image and everything that goes with it. I know there's a pure idea for it, but for me, that's all important.
Yeah, it is. I mean, come on. I mean, everyone, when you first are the age when you're buying records, CDs, whatever they might be, you buy into the whole look. You study the sleeve notes. You know exactly who played bass on everything you bought when you were a kid because you could afford so few records. You kind of study everything intricately, don't you? And I think it's rather nice.
Yeah, you pour over it.
Francois Hardy, beautiful stuff. Finally, we're going to speak about Eleanor Friedberger. So she's one half of Fiery Furnaces, kind of... Again, you know, amazing kind of rhythmical, but kind of quite avant sort of rock and roll and pop stuff. What is Eleanor like on her own?
Well, Eleanor on her own is actually much more straightforward. And the joy of this album, I really like Fiery Furnaces, especially as an idea, this brother-sister duo, you know, making this kind of difficult music. But it was too difficult. I mean, they recorded an album backwards. It was just too much.
Yeah.
It was very, very conceptual. Well, actually, she is, in a way, she's taken a simpler approach with her own music. They're wistful, slightly country rock-tinted, very personal songs. And they're all based on just sort of chance things that have happened to her. So my favourite song is called He Didn't Mention His Mother, and the reason it's called that is it's kind of a love song, but she met a guy, not a boyfriend or you know, didn't have any kind of relationship with him, but they're chatting over an evening, and she realised at the end of it he had never mentioned his mother, and she said that was kind of unusual. And, you know, whether it was good or bad, whether he had a good relationship with his mother or not, it got her thinking. And so it's all the songs have got those kind of, those things that we all, you know, all occur to, you know, kind of almost like... trivial thoughts that actually have some sort of can have importance, and that's what I like about it. So it's sort of personal, but it's not particularly maudlin or heavy-handed.
Well, let's have a little bit of that. He Didn't Mention His Mother, Eleanor Friedberger.
On the roof in the attic or out the window, is it you?
It's effortless sounding stuff. He Didn't Mention His Mother from the new LP, New View, from Eleanor Friedberger. She sounds a little bit like Tracy Thorn in that, the way that it's very simple kind of phrasing. It's really beautiful.
It's nice. It's very simple. It's not that she's got the strongest voice, but she conveys what she needs to convey. And I like the fact the music's straightforward. It's not breaking any new ground. You know, I think I've heard that kind of melody before, but it doesn't matter. You know, it works well for her. And it's also, the album's a bit of a little bit of a labour of love, because she was one of the dispossessed of New York. She was a kind of Brooklyn hipster who suddenly found that Brooklyn had become so hip, i.e. expensive, that she couldn't live there anymore. And so she decamped up to upstate New York and made this album. And so it's really a product of, I suppose you could call it a product of gentrification.
Yes. Yeah, I suppose there's also kind of, I suppose there's an embracing of if not a folkiness, then you kind of like these
simplicity.
Yeah, these albums are suddenly being cut in a street, you know, in a town where there's like five shops.
Exactly,
as you say, in Brooklyn, where you can't afford to go out and have any more than one cocktail, maybe.
In a jam jar.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that's again, I think that's probably informed the sound and style of the album. That simplicity and maybe the kind of feeling that it sort of can stretch out in a sort of. It's got space to breathe. There's something about the music which is quite, quite languid.
Yeah, it's nice. Not too much. She hasn't thrown the kitchen sink.
No, she hasn't, which the Fiery Furnaces always did.
Yeah.
You know, it's always this, you know, this great concept idea, which was interesting, but challenging.
Yes, it was. You always felt like you deserved a massive pat on the back and a big, strong drink after getting
exactly,
through a record,
yeah.
A whole LP. Anyway, that was Eleanor Friedberg. The new record is called New View. It's out on the 22nd of January. And before that, we talked about Françoise Hardy. The reissue is called La Maison où j'ai grandi. That's from 1966. And we started talking about David Bowie. Black Star is out on Friday. Thank you, Will Hodgkinson.
Thank
the
you.
The Hodge Father. Yeah. Well, do you think that's going to catch on, or is that really embarrassing?
No one's ever called me the Hodge Father before, but let's give it a go.
Okay, let's see. see how many episodes of the Arts Review that survives for in 2016.
The Hodge Grandfather.
The Hodge Grandfather. Thank you very much, as ever, to Will. And you've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher, and we'll be back at the same time tomorrow to talk TV with Alice Vincent. But for the time being, thanks for tuning in.